You never know who's going to come to a barbecue. A barbecue. On Father's Day, that's a kind of a manly thing to be talking about, isn't it? Barbecues. In my mind's eye, as I was preparing for this, I almost was thinking that I might portray Abraham. Bring in my barbecue outfit. Then I remembered that I didn't have a mic that would allow me to do that now, which is just as well. Barbecue. You know, I think if us men are honest with ourselves, we prefer something more informal, like a barbecue, at the time of, let's say, a wedding, than we would kind of a fancy sit down and eat feast. Now, those, and am I wrong in this, men? Would you prefer something like that? Yeah, okay. We got that. There's something more informal about this. I mean, at a wedding feast, you got your nameplates and where you're supposed to sit and stuff like this, and you have to know which fork to use, you know, go moving outside to in and all that kind of stuff, and what to eat when, where. But at a barbecue, you just eat. And as I said, you never know who might show up at a barbecue. Now, a long time ago, I managed to go to one of the foremost barbecue events in the country, the National Barbecue Cook-Off in Kansas City. You know, just for a little price, you get to go in and sample all the wares. Now, something similar to a barbecue, it's something you do out of the back end of a pickup or something like that. What is that, Jeannie? You're more familiar with that. A tailgating, yeah. Now tell me, do you know who is actually going to be at a tailgating thing like after or before a Ravens game? I mean, do people, only those people connected to a certain barbecue come? People show up. And you never know who's going to come, right? You never know who's going to come to a barbecue. Well, it ties into this morning's scripture. I know it wasn't. I mean, Abraham didn't have his old barbecue outfit out there, but, you know, here's the story. Abraham, we talked about him last week, and, you know, our focus last week was upon his faith, because that's something he's remembered before. Abraham is kind of a father of faith, just the father of many nations. That's how he's remembered. But he's also remembered for something else. And this episode lifts it up. So imagine, here's Abraham, passing the day, sitting outside the front of his tent. Now, mind you, this is a little bit different day and age. Now, this is the day and age before big screen televisions, before a lot of those things that go under the heading of entertainment. I guess for Abraham, entertainment was sitting outside his tent flap, watching the world go by. But also in a hot and arid land, in the middle of the day is not exactly a time that you spend doing a lot of things. Now, Izzy growing up and your brother growing up in South Texas, would you, in the middle of the hottest point of the day during the summer, is that a time for work? Or is that a time for, what's that word? Siesta? Yeah. It's a time that some of us are going to be headed for hotter climes this summer. Some of us are heading to the Dominican Republic for a work camp. The Wolf Boys are going to Mexico, middle of summer. Just for all of you, be watching for the kind of the clues that they give. I mean, we may have in our minds that work is from 9 to 5, but we work on their time, not on our time. And I got to tell you, for those of us going to the Dominican Republic, there's a difference between Anglo time and a Dominican time. See? See. Hot, yeah. In fact, I've been told that the Dominicans think we Anglos are nuts because we stand out in the sun. Okay. You can imagine Abraham in front of his tent flap, no doubt in the shade of his tent. Now, if you can, in your mind's eye, envision this. I mean, this is a hot, in a in a arid country, and they have set up camp. They are living near, you know, these famous oaks of Mamre. We don't exactly know where that was. We knew it near. Know it's near this place called Hebron, not all that far from what would later be known as Jerusalem. But basically, a clump of trees indicates there's A, shade, and B, water. So imagine this. I imagine that he's got his tent set up somewhere near those trees. And he's sitting there, entertaining himself, watching the world go by. Do we do that much anymore? I mean, how many of us have front porches anymore? Front porches used to be the place where you had your interaction with the world, wasn't it? The world would walk by, and there was that connection. Don't do that much anymore. There he is, and all of a sudden, now you'd think that a person would be able to see from pretty far off some folks walking up, but he doesn't see them, which is our first indication that something unusual is going on here. He's startled because he sees three people standing over here. And what does he do? He reaches out to them. Hospitality. See, that's something that has been picked up about Abraham as well. He's known, yes, for his faith and for being the father of many nations, but he's also known for his hospitality. Inviting people. He gets up, he runs over to these people, he doesn't know them from Adam. They are strangers. But still, he welcomes them, and he goes out of his way. Barbecue? Well, that's not exactly it, but it's hospitality in action. And it's actually something that's very much a part of the culture. Not just the culture back then, but the culture today in many parts of this world. I mean, in our country, we don't do this very often as a stranger. I mean, yes, we've got our tailgating parties. That's maybe the closest we come. How often do we reach out to strangers? Welcome. Now, something that we are learning about those in certain Muslim countries that's very much a part of their culture. If a stranger is there, you welcome them in. Even if that person might be, and this may explain some things for us who, you know, we're wondering what's going on here. Even if that person may be somebody connected to like things like Al-Qaeda or the Taliban or something like that, you still welcome them in. That's, hospitality is an important part of the culture. Something that, by the way, we are forgetting a little bit in this day and age of predator drones up in the sky and those hellfire missiles that fire down. We're in some ways losing a war in the borderland between Afghanistan and Pakistan. Because we are losing the hearts and minds of people. Because we are bombing. We see, our intelligence tells us that certain people are in certain people's homes, and we bomb those homes. Yes, we have taken out some targets, but perhaps have created more enemies in the process. I'm not trying to make a political point over there, but hospitality is a part of that whole picture. And hospitality is almost a law in certain parts of this world. You remember the 23rd Psalm, where the psalmist talks about, you know, after talking about the valley of the shadow of death and fearing no evil, for thy rod and thy staff are with me, etc., etc. And then it gets around to a note of God's hospitality. You know, there, in the presence of my enemies, you spread a table before me. You open your tent flap and welcome me in. And that, in many ways, is the beginning point for us of our relationship with God, because God is the initiator. God is the one who is hospitable to us. I mean, our faith tells us that God created all this. Just let me see. This is my Father's world. God welcomes us and says, "Here, sit at my table, eat, be blessed, be a blessing." The beginning of faith. Going back to Abraham, and this is perhaps one of my favorite stories in the Abraham cycle. I love it because, you know, he goes all out. Abraham, you listen to him. He goes all out. You know, he calls for all this bread to be made. And, you know, if you read the story, I couldn't find any commentators commenting on this, but if you read the story, it doesn't actually talk about him actually offering the bread to these strangers. But I'm sure it did. But it's you know, when it talks about preparing the bread, the amount there is more of a large group type of preparation of bread rather than just three people. And he goes all out with you know, getting the calf and, well, just think barbecue. Although, remember, this is before the time of Moses when he had all these laws defining how you're supposed to cook and stuff. And wasn't there something in the law about how you're not supposed to be putting, you know, milk together with beef or whatever? You know, it's not supposed to be done that way, but he did it anyway. It's a lavish feast that he spreads. It's hospitable to these three strangers. As I said at the beginning and before we actually started worship, tradition, you know, we've set things down through the years about these three strangers. And one of the early church fathers commented that, well, what you got here is you got your Father, you got your Son, and you got your Holy Ghost. Not so sure about that, but because it's really, you know, another one has said, well, here is God and there are two angels. They visit. He prepares for them a feast. And then they talk. And thoughts lean across the entrance of the tent. Somebody who's not really a part of this gathering. And this is a cultural thing because the women weren't really a part of what was happening between the men back then. Perhaps in some places of the world that's still the case. But she's listening in nonetheless. She's a very important part of this conversation. For these three strangers who are visiting Abraham and Sarah are linking to earlier promises. Promises to Abraham and to Sarah. That there is going to be a place for you and for your descendants. An important point up to this stage of the game is that Abraham and Sarah are still without a child. Well, hold that thought. Abram does have a child. Abraham does have a child, but it's not through Sarah. And the promise, according to Genesis, is that Sarah is an important part of this. And the promise is reiterated by these strangers. And Sarah, it says, snares. Thank you for asking this. I mean, put in your own mind some person laughing at the impossibility of that promise. Because over and over again, I mean, that's an important thing that's lifted up in Genesis, left and right. You know, as we journey through Genesis with Abraham and Sarah, you know, it's pointed out step by step by step how old they are and how old they're getting. I mean, this isn't a case where Sarah gets to you know, be kind of anonymous or age-wise. Genesis lifts it up left and right. Both of them. And at this stage in the game, the promise is reiterated. And she's what? She's over 90 at this point, right? And there's the promise again. And the impossibility of it all just has her laughing out loud. Or at least snap. Maybe not like we were doing earlier in worship. But close to it. And then it says that these three strangers, notice, they heard it. Which says to me that, you know, I think God, yeah, God hears our prayers. God hears our praises. But God hears our laughter as well. I think God even hears the laughter that is kind of under the stuff that's not to open chuckling. I believe that God enjoys laughter. I hope so. Because they note, why did she laugh? Did you catch that? Sarah's there behind the tent, flat. She's, I didn't laugh. No way! Sort of the same way some of you may have felt a little bit earlier when these people were up here dancing around, you know. Is it okay to laugh in church? Is it okay to be silly? She's, no. Promises reiterated. And one of the three says, oh, but you did laugh. So laughter, I believe, is a part of God's hospitality, too, here. And you know, it's funny, in this story, yes, it's a story that is mentioned several times, actually, later on in the Bible. One of them you see at the top of your bulletin. It's from the book of Hebrews, and it's actually kind of linking back to Abraham. It talks about, be hospitable to strangers, for some have encountered angels unaware. You never know who's going to come to the barbecue. It may be God. God is a hospitable God, after all. And who is actually offering the hospitality? I mean, Abraham went out of his way to be hospitable, but, God's still a part of that promise. And God delivered. If you go ahead a couple chapters in the book of Genesis, there's the story of the promise realized. Sarah gave birth to a son. She was 100 years old. I love how this is pointed. Where's that verse where it says, who would have ever said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. I love that phrase. That's Sarah not pointing out her own age. It's pointing out Abraham's age. I have borne him a son in his old age. Do you know what they named that son? What was their son's name? Isaac. What does Isaac mean? Anyone? Laughter! Should tell us something. Should. Laughter is part of the process. So is hospitality. Opening your door, others. That's an important thing, because you never know who's going to come to the barbecue, do you? In that famous chapter in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, when it talks about the last day, there's the king talking, separating the goats from the sheep. Talks about how you, get to that particular verse here. I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to eat. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. Of course, there to the goats, he said, I was hungry, and you didn't give me something to eat, but the rest of that. But for both the sheep and the goats, did they know who it was that they were welcoming or not welcoming? No. Because you never know who's going to come to the barbecue. Let me end with this vision that's sort of part of our faith story. This vision that has yet to be realized. This vision of, if you will, God's final barbecue. Oh, I know they call it a wedding feast of the Lamb and stuff, but you know what, man? We prefer a barbecue, something a little less formal. God's barbecue begins with God's hospitality and ends with God's hospitality. And in the middle, each and every day of our lives, guess who's knocking on the door? Remember that. Remember that saying from Hebrews about offering hospitality to strangers. For by so doing, some have entertained angels unaware. Amen?